Our next speaker is Rabbi Zechariah Wallerstein. And just to give you the information that you already have in your programs, he is the Menahel of Ornava, a Teres Nava, Bnos Chaya, Academy for Girls, and had been a Rebbe for 8th grade boys for 30 years. And he'll share his thoughts on this subject. I just want to say that I know that often when we have conventions, there are some questions people ask this morning. Rabbi Mutzen mentioned one question that people typically ask after people leave conferences. But one of the questions I ask is, Silamaisa, what happens now? How do we take all the ideas? How do we make it happen? So our next speaker isn't only somebody who can see the problem. And he isn't only the person who can clarify it and speak about it. But he's also somebody who takes action and makes things happen. And so it's worth not only listening to the words of Rabbi Wallerstein, but also learning from his own role modeling that whatever needs to get done should get done. Rabbi Wallerstein.
Thank you, Rabbi. I knew you were going to give me such an unbelievable introduction. I knew my hat wouldn't fit anymore, so I took it off. Thank you, Rabbi Parnas. Interesting. I have the same story you do. My father also paid a lot of money for me to get a 95, but for a different reason. I was getting 75s, and it also didn't work. So, since I was invited to come speak, Rosh Hashiva, Rabbanim, all the Askanim, Nashim Tzidkaniyais, I've had a great debate within myself. Do I tell you the truth? Do I tell you what's really going on? Or do I let you leave the Gurdah convention feeling all cozy and warm and fuzzy that everything is great and the Reuv is doing well and it's just a few kids that fell out? But that's not the truth. And I didn't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted me to do. Because if I really put it on the table, there's a lot of people sitting in this room that I don't know if they could handle it. So I made a tape of 5 phone calls that I kept on my phone. It's a very severe tape. There's a lot of crying and a lot of pain. And on my way here, I played it for my wife. And my wife said, you cannot play this at the convention. So I will not play it. But I will tell you what is on that tape. But I still wasn't sure this morning, should I really say it the way it is? I set my alarm clock this morning for 7 o'clock. I woke up at 7 o'clock, and you see, you have to practice what you preach. I have an old antique flip phone. Anyone who knows what I talk about, I'm very anti, you know, the whole, what you're all anti. And I had a text message this morning. I'd like to read it to you. It was sent to me at 6:29 a.m. before I woke up. I'll read you word for word. This is from a frum girl, not a girl off the derech, not a girl in the street. Rabbi Wallerstein, I'm angry. I'm starting to believe that there is no God. I think it's true that there is no such thing as Hashem. 6:49 this morning, before I woke up, I received this text. So I guess I need to talk about it. There's a Medrash Rabba in Eicha, and the Medrash Rabba says the following. At the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was crying. I have a heichan. My loved ones, where are you? Ma esa lechem. What did I do to you? Hisreisi lechem. I warned you. V'loi chazartem. But you didn't do tshuva. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYirmiya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yirmiya, Ani daima hayayim le'adam shehayu le'ben yechidi. I am today like a person who had an only son. And I made him a chuppah. And during the chuppah, he died. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu turned to Yirmiyahu and he said, "Ve'ein lecha ke'ev? And it doesn't bother you? Lo alai, what I'm going through, the lo abini, and what my children are going through, it doesn't bother you?" That's Rav Shimshon Pinkus. How could Kadosh Baruch Hu say this to Yirmiyahu? If anyone had bothered Yirmiyahu, I think it was 21 years he stood and he gave Musa to Klal Yisrael. He wrote Eicha Yivor to the king and the king burnt it. And the Medrash says, Bahukalai, he hit him and he beat him. Yirmiyahu? Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have kindness to Yirmiyahu? And Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Olav Shalom, said, "At the end of the day, you were the Navi. It happened on your watch. So you didn't do enough. You didn't know how to cry." And it goes on, the Medrash. And the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "You don't know how to cry? Go to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They know how to cry." So he goes, and he tells the Avos HaOlam, "Imdu, get up, Shigiyaz Manchatem, it's Vakshim Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's time for you to go and daven for Klal Yisrael in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Okay? Amalai, so the Avos HaVasenu said to Yirmiyahu, "Why? Why do you want us to go and daven Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Amalai, lama? Amar Lahem, Yirmiyahu said, Eini Yodea, I don't know why." What do you mean? You knew why? The Beit HaMikdash is burning. Klal Yisrael is being destroyed. Why don't you tell the Avos HaVasenu why you're coming to them? Says the Medrash that he said, Eini Yodea b'bnei shehoyim isyara, because he was scared, Shlo yayru b'yomecha haisil v'neinu zayis. He was scared that the Avos would say, "In your days, on your watch, this happened to your children." So he went to Moshe Rabbeinu. He said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "You need to go before Kadosh Baruch Hu and daven for Klal Yisrael." And Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Why? Ma hayom yomayim? Why is today different?" And he said, "I don't know." Because he was scared that Moshe Rabbeinu would say the same thing as the Avos. So how could I get up at a good convention? Because it's our watch. Askanim, Gedolim, Rabbanim, Klal Yisrael. It's happening on our watch. And in the end of the day, we're going to have to answer for all the children that are suffering, and the Shalom Bayis that's suffering, and the girls who are not getting Shiduchim. Yes, we have a lot of good things that we're doing. But it's on our watch. And because Baruch Hu said, if it happens on your watch, you are not doing enough. So I'm going to tell you what's going on, as much as it hurts." Yirmiyahu tried, as we know with the king, we say the kinnis, he told them behind the doors, "Yes, everything looks great in Klal Yisrael. But behind the doors, what you cannot see, they're serving Avodah Zarah." And the king said, "No, I will not let Paro go through, the Egyptians go through Eretz Yisrael. You are the Navi, you don't know what you're talking about. There's a few kids out there that are at risk, but the Rav is doing great. You don't know what you're talking about." And 300 arrows later, laying there and dying, he turned to Yirmiyahu and he said, "I was wrong. They were sinning behind the doors. Do we have to take 300 arrows to find out what's really happening in Klal Yisrael? Is there more Torah than there ever was? Yes, if there wasn't any Torah, we wouldn't be here. But I want to talk about the Torah from this week's Parsha." So in this week's Parsha, there was a big war, there was a big fight between the Malach of Esav and Yaakov Avinu. And they ask Akasha, why did the Malach of Esav wait till Yaakov? Why didn't he fight with Avram Avinu and with Yitzchak Avinu? Why did he wait till Yaakov? Why did he destroy Avram and then there would be no Yaakov? And the terrorist that's given is that the Yetzirah had no problem with Avram, with Chesed, because there are people who do Chesed and there are Goyim who do Chesed, the greatest Chesed, the biggest Rishon in the world. Chesed is not a contradiction from the Malach of Esav. Yitzchak was Gvura. Gvura is not a contradiction from the Malach of Esav. But Yaakov was MS. And Yaakov was Yosef Ahalim. Yaakov was Torah. And that is a contradiction to the Yetzirah. So when Yaakov was left alone, the Yetzirah said, him I must eradicate, I must destroy, and I must erase Torah from Klal Yisrael. But the Satan knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Klal Yisrael would never be destroyed. And he knew that there will be a Daf Yomi. And he knew there will be yeshivas full of kids that are learning. And he knew that there will be a Balabatim that will be sitting and learning. He knew that. And he knew he could never destroy that. So what did the Satan do? It says the Pasuk, Vayavek ish imoy. Zot Rashi says, Avak, which is dust. They kicked up a lot of dust. If I came here today to report to you on a fight that happened outside, I would tell you who won, who lost. I would tell you how they were hitting each other. I definitely wouldn't tell you, by the way, while they were fighting, some dirt was coming off the ground. It's not really that important. Why does the Torah use the word Avak? Vayavek. It should be Vayilachem ish imo. They were at war. What's Vayavek? And the Teretz is that he knew he could not destroy Torah. His objective was to do what dust does. All the women here know, if you have nice furniture, you have to dust it because dust makes it very dull. Your mirrors are full of dust, they become very dull. Your silver becomes very dull. The koyach of dust is to take beautiful, shiny things and make them boring and dull. So the Satan said, I cannot destroy Torah, but I will take the beauty, the excitement, the newness, the freshness. I will take that away from the Torah. It's much scarier than this. And it's brought down that the dust went to the Kisei HaKavod. And I remember learning this as a child and I didn't understand. How could dust from a fight on this world reach the Kisei HaKavod? And the Teretz is so deep, everybody. And it's the text I got at 6:29 this morning. If Torah loses its beauty, if the children that are learning Torah don't find it beautiful, the Balabatim, yes, we go to the Daf Yomi and Baruch Hashem, there's so much Torah, but every man in this room remembers when you were in yeshiva, or go to a yeshiva, and watch the war, watch the fight between two chavruses, screaming and yelling, you don't know what you're talking about! The Ritva says the opposite, running and pulling out 10 Svarim! 10 Svarim on every desk, go to any base medrash! The fire! If a guy would walk in, he would say, why are they all fighting? And then go to a Daf Yomi. And everybody's sitting nice and quiet. Chas v'shalom, there should be an hour and 5 minutes. And a cup of coffee and another cup of coffee and a little cookie. And Baruch Hashem, don't get me wrong. Where's the beauty? Where's the beauty? You just learned a black Gemara. There's so much went on. You can get up and walk out. You have nothing to ask the person who gave the shir, but he's on his way out the door, so you get a chance to ask for 2 seconds. Where's the fire from yeshiva? Where's the beauty? Where's the beauty in a yontif? We're all flying all over the place. Every hotel is full. Where's the beauty of a yontif? Where's the beauty of a Shabbos? Where's the excitement? So the Satan said, by your Avek Yishimai, I can't beat you. I can't stop you, but I will take away the beauty. And I'm not talking about kids at risk. I deal with regular kids, and I ask them, so translate, tell me, what is Yiddishkeit? I have never, in thousands of kids, been answered, Yiddishkeit is beautiful. once. It's rules. It's a way to connect to Hashem. A lot of different answers. Not one kid has ever answered to me, Yiddishkeit is beautiful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beautiful. So the Mechazal is telling us that if your Torah and your mitzvahs is about a bunch of marks on a test, it's a competition. If that's what it becomes a subject. Subjects are not beautiful. I have an unbelievable chiddush how to stop kids from watching movies. Give them a test on it. If movies became a subject, nobody would watch movies. But Chumash is a subject, and Gemara is a subject, and Halacha is a subject. Torah is life! Life is beautiful! A subject is ugly! It's competition! What are we doing? This is Yavon! Kids in my class, and he's an IQ of 100, and another kid has an IQ of 140. One kid has an unbelievable memory. One kid doesn't. So Hashem brought him to the world. How dare you mock him? Go to the Kaisho and give Hashem the report card. He gave the kid the 140 IQ, and he gave the other kid a 95 IQ. He gave this kid an unbelievable memory, and he gave this kid no memory. He gave this kid parents that are amazing, and he gave this kid dysfunctional parents. Why are you taking it out on the child? This is not my Torah. I'll tell you where this Torah comes from. So the danger of this Yiddishkeit not being beautiful is, Zachazal, it will reach. If Torah and mitzvahs and learning and Shabbos is not something that's beautiful, but it's a subject, it will reach the Kisei HaKavod, that dust. And the Kisei HaKavod will no longer be beautiful in the eyes of the Jewish children. In the end, the Kisei HaKavod will be full of dust. It will be dull and it will be boring. And in the end, Rabbi Wallerstein will get a text at 6 o'clock in the morning. Where's God? I'm not sure Hashem exists. And that's what Chazal say. It's not physical dust, it's spiritual dust. I'm not just here to kvetch. It's not what I do. So what do? So how do we change it? We're not going to change the school system. I'm not here to change the school system. But you can definitely change that system at home. You can tell your child what it really means, that the most important thing by a Yid, and this is our Torah. Our Torah talks nothing about marks. Moshe Rabbeinu did not bring a subject down from Har Sinai. It doesn't say anywhere that they were ever tested. There was one competition in the whole Torah, two Kohanim, running up to see who gets first to the top of the Mizbeach. And we didn't do well. He pushed him off and broke his leg. We're not good at competition. We are all about effort. If you would show this to educators, secular educators, if you show them the Mishnah that says, Lord Aleichem, it's not up to you to finish, they would go crazy. What do you mean? How could you say that? How could the rabbi say that? It's not up to you to finish. That's what you have to do. You have to finish. It's not up to you to finish. It's up to you to start. It's up to you to try. That's what the title, that's what the Mishnah. I didn't write the Mishnah. Zechariah Wallerstein did not write this. Lori Alecha, I'm Alecha Ligmar. I didn't write this Mishnah. That's not your job. Your job is on one side of the report card to get straight hours. Effort. Behavior. Derecheret. Cleanliness. If effort is 100%, there is no other side to the report card. You want to talk about stress? From first grade on? A report card? And we think we're doing them a favor? We write on the back, you have amazing potential. Thank you. It would have been much better if you said I'm a failure. Maybe I'll make it. You have amazing potential, but you didn't reach it. And the kid comes home. I'm in the kid's mind. I'm still in their mind. I'm still a teacher. Kid comes home with a 50. Chas v'sholom lo yaleichem. Comes home with a 50. So how do we react? So first of all, you need to know, when the kid gets the 50, first of all, he can't show anyone in the class his mark. We hope the Rebbe doesn't tell anyone the mark, of course. So he can't show anyone the mark, so everyone's showing their marks, and he's not showing his mark, so they're not silly. Kids are very smart. He failed. So he already feels different. He already feels very alone. I failed. And chas v'shalom, I hope that nobody writes on the top of the paper, the kid's in eighth grade. Failed! By the time I get to eighth grade, they know. 50 is a failure. You don't have to write it. So he comes home, and he's mamish. He doesn't feel good about himself. And his mother's like, no! So how'd you do on the test? Well, ma, really not so great. Chatzi chatzi, literally. Literally chatzi chatzi. Do you know what this is going to do to your father? Do you have any idea what this is going to do to your father? Do you know how many jobs he works that you should go to yeshiva? Do you know how many jobs he works that you can have a tutor? You know you're going to give him a heart attack, chas v'shalom? The man works his heart out, he's going to see a 50? And do you know that when they find out what you're doing in school, your sister, they're going to think the whole family genetically is not smart? Your sister's never going to get a shidduch? Do you understand what you're doing? And what am I going to tell all my friends? Their kids are in the class. They all got great marks. What am I going to tell my friends? So now you have a little kid. He's a fourth grader. He's walking around like this. I'm a failure. I think I killed my father. My sister's going to be single till she's 80. Stress. Stress. So let's change the channel. Shafley, you got a 50? It means you got 50 right. Let's see what you got right on the test. Chaim. Number 3 you got right? Number 3 is much harder than number 2. How did you remember number 3? And he's going to look at you and say, Ma, did you hear Rabbi Wallerstein? Did you go to one of his speeches? I can't believe you're reacting like this. But he's listening. Because you're focusing on his positive. So he's listening. So now you have a chance to go over number 3. And why I got number 2 right, he's going to say, you know what, Ma, I wasn't thinking. If I got number 3, I surely should have gotten number 2. That's the Gemara right before that. I definitely should have known that. And all of a sudden, he's talking to you, and he's open. And next time, he may not get a 70, but he might get a 60. And there'll be a 65 and a 70. I'm doing this for a very long time. And he may not be able to get more than a 70, but he'll definitely do his best, because guess what? My mother or my father is focusing on my positive. So where do we see that in the Torah? We see that in the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. We see that by the Eim HaMalchus. So, you know, everybody wants to get into Kiruv and Kiruv professionals. I don't know that it became a profession, but there are people teaching other people how to do Kiruv. You don't have to learn how to do Kiruv. Every person in Klal Yisrael, we're all connected. If you're all connected in the puzzle and each puzzle piece fits into the other, you don't have to be a professional in this at all. But I want to tell you the first case of Kiruv that I know of, at least, in the Torah, and this is the secret of taking a kid out of stress. So Boaz comes to the field. Vayomer l'kaitzrim. And he says to the kaitzrim, Hashem imachem, vayomer lo yivarecha Hashem. There are many people here who go to work. What do we say when we come to work? Why are you late? Are my papers ready? Did you send a letter to the bank? Did you send the email? Did you send the fax? Right? Okay. Lucky if that's the way you come to work. How did Boaz come to work? The first thing he said to all his workers is that Kadosh Baruch Hu should be with you. Could you imagine if a Rebbe walks into a class and the first thing he says to his class, instead of take out your pen, stick in your shirt, put that away, take out your homework, right? Instead of opening like that, a Rebbe opens up and says, Kindelach, you should be gebenched by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Kindelach answer back, Rebbe, Hashem should bench you. It's a different day. When a husband leaves the house, if his wife would say to him, or he would say to his wife, Shefulah, today you should be gebenched. Hashem should bless you. And she answers back, Hashem should bless you. It's a different way of going to work. A boss that walks in to his job, to his office, and he tells his workers, Hashem imachem, today God should be with you. And they answer to the boss, God should bless you. We'll see a lot of hatzlacha in his business. So we get an insight to who Boaz is. And then Boaz asks the question, and he says, who is this? And the Nar answers, Nara Movia, she's a girl who came from Movia, who came with Naomi from Stamov. He had nothing nice to say about her. So now the Gadol Hador, which is Boaz, the Gadol, the Shaifet, the Gadol Hador, he meets this girl, who's a Moavi, who he got his report already. What does he say to her? And he says the following. Vayomer Boaz, Arus, Halo Shamat, Biti, He calls Ruth, the first time he ever spoke to her, my daughter. She doesn't understand. She was actually thrown over. It's pretty scary, Medrash. That when she came to the field, the people in the field, the boys in the field said, you are a guy. You're taking leket from the Jewish girls. They took her and they threw her over the fence. After 120 years, imagine the answering for throwing David HaMelech's grandmother over the fence, right? But how do we know that? Because he says to her, I told my boys not to touch you. Why would they touch her? So the Medrash says, because they threw her over the fence. If you come and you're stealing leket from Jewish girls. So that's what they thought of her. But what did Boaz say? He said, Bilti. So she asked him. Neuridik, she asks him. But people up in there, Tashtachvu Orza. She falls to the ground and she says, I don't chap. I don't understand. Why are you being so nice to me? Here's the big word. Lahaki reini. To give me recognition. Anaychi nachriya. I'm a guy. I'm a stranger. So he answers her. And he says, because I focused on all the pain that you went through. I don't focus where you come from, but I focus what you gave up. And he says, you went through so much pain, you're my BT. And this is what she says. My master, I found favor, because you consoled me, which meant that she was in a lot of pain, that she needed consoling, because she felt very strange. She felt very much like an achriya. And then he says the big words, you didn't speak to this, but you spoke to this. You spoke to my heart. And then she made a comment that we all need to know. A person who talks to someone's heart and treats them like they're their own son and daughter, she said, you're putting all that into me? I'll give you a guarantee. Lo v'anoichi lo ehye ka'acha shifcha secha. I will not be like a regular shifcha. I will become Aim Hamalchus, the great-grandmother of David HaMelech and the great-great-grandmother of Moshiach Ben David. One word. Biti. My daughter. I treat you like you're my own daughter. I don't have time. I promised the rabbi I'd be finished at 1:30. And I have a lot to say. But I want to tell you a chida that I saw, which is a huge chiddush. And only I could say it only over because the Chidah writes it. And with this I'll end, and I'll let you leave here with a fantastic trick on how to be mechanech children, your own children, as a Rebbe, as a parent, as a grandparent. The Chidah says the following, in last week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu had a dream. And in this dream, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and said, I am Elokei Avram Avicha, Velokei Yitzchak. And he doesn't say Avicha. By Avram he says, I am the God of Avram, your father. And by Yitzchak, he doesn't call Yitzchak his father. He just says Elokei Yitzchak. So the Chidah asked the Kasha. Avram wasn't his father, it was his grandfather. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was coming in the dream and saying, your father. Yitzchak, who is his father? He doesn't call him his father. It's a shtaka chidah. And the chidah says the following. Tema, shikara leziknei aviv, ula aviv leikara av. Nirali, lefishi Yaakov hoye b'chaya Avram. Yaakov lived in the time of Avram, shayu oisik b'toyru v'mitzvois, v'hoye mechavavoy b'yoysa. He was very close to Avram Avinu, learnt with him for 15 years. And u'meroyv chiba, listen to the chidah, hoye kairei oisai b'ni. Avram Avinu called Yaakov, even though he's a grandson, for all the grandparents that are here, who you think that your chinuch is over, Avram Avinu called his grandson my son, and therefore, and he gave him a lot of love, and therefore, because Baruch Hu, in the dream of Yaakov, called Avram his father. L'kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu kari aviv, avu Yitzchak, shaya ayav es esav harasha, yaisim imenu, Yitzchak who loved Esav more than him, Loi Karu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aviv. And if you look in the parsha before, you will see that never does Yitzchak call Yaakov Bani, but he calls Esav many times Bani. Says the Chida, just because you have a child doesn't make him your son. Doesn't make you his father. You have to call him Bini. You have to call her Biti. You have to tell them how much you love them. There's a Mishnah, and I love this Mishnah, because this, with all respect to psychologists who's here, and psychology, and we all learn about psychology when everything is in the Torah. We don't have time to go through Yosef and Moshe and Dabar. But I just want to tell you a Mishnah that's unbelievable. You know, people, you go to marriage counseling, what do they tell you? It's not enough that you love the other person. You need to tell them. You always say that. Not enough if you love your kids. You have to tell your kids, I love you. But they know I love. No, you have to tell them. Why do I have to tell them? She knows I love her. Well, I have to tell my kid. He knows I love him, right? We ask Michil always from our parents, Yom Kippur, and they're like, I'm your mother. I don't have to be Michil. Of course I don't, right? No. So, we don't need books for this. Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Hu Hayomer, Rabbi Akiva said, Chavev Adam Shenibra B'Tzelem, Chiba Yisera Noidaslo. That we're very chavev that we were created B'Tzelem, but what's the Chiba Yisera, the extra love? That Kosh Baruch Hu tells you, he communicates it to you, that you're Nikra B'Tzelem. Hashem loves us that we are the children. Not enough, says the Mishnah. It's a chibi yaseya. The real love is that Hakadosh Baruch Hu shenikra banam hamakayim. Banam atam Hashem. That Hashem tells us. Not enough that we're His children. He has to tell us that we're His children. That's the chibi yaseya. And the last, the beautiful Torah that has become so dim and dull. Apple comes out with a new iPhone every single 6 months. Fresh, new, shiny, exciting. They're throwing at our children. Fresh, new, exciting. The Yitzhara doesn't put our back on that. So we're getting, their kids are getting hit with all this new stuff, new technology. And we have to fight them with a Torah that's shiny, not a new Torah, Chas v'Shalom. But a Torah that's exciting. Not something that's just a subject. And at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva says, and that's the question I'm looking to get answered all these years when I ask kids, what is Yiddishkeit? What is Torah? The Mishnah answers, Chiba Yisera Naidas Lehem Shenita Lehem Kli Chemda. How many of us feel that the Torah is a Kli Chemda? And of course, Baruch Hu doesn't let us figure it out on his own. But he loves us and he tells us. So I'm just going to give you a hint when it comes to children. I started doing this and I told a bunch of rabbis, some of my teachers to do it, and they said it works. So you're very angry at your child. So you call him over. Chaim, I can't believe you did this. That's it. I'm done. Say the word Bini first. My son... Doesn't go. Not a joke. My daughter is doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, Miriam, what's wrong with you? My daughter, Miriam, what's wrong with you? The minute you put the word Bini, my daughter or my son, in front of what you're about to say, all your octaves come down. Your whole feeling, your whole anger comes down. A Rebbe, when you call a kid up, whatever he did wrong, sometimes I'm not one of these... People that hold that you just... My father was a Marine. I was brought up with the word consequence. I don't believe you should let kids do whatever they want. That's not the Torah way. But, at the same time, I'm a Rebbe. And when you call up a student, and his name is, let's say, Shlomi or Shlomo, and he really did something wrong in class, and he's really going to get it over the head now. But if you say, my son Shlomo, first of all, you won't be able to say the way... You thought you were going to say it. And second of all, when he hears that you say, my son Shlomo, he'll take it so differently. Even your own children. When you call your daughter and you say, my daughter Chani, or my son Chaim, and then you say what you have to say, you're going to say it differently, and they're going to hear it differently. I'm going to give everyone a bracha. And the Kosh Baruch Hu, who loves us so much, should give us the ability in this next year to shine up his Torah and his Yiddishkeit, and that shine, that Klai Yisrael's love and excitement about Yiddishkeit should reach his Kisei HaKavod, and the whole world should see once again who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Hashem Echad, Ushma Echad. Thank you.